I will leave this place very encouraged. You have greatly encouraged me this week in so many ways. Your hospitality, your kind words. You've been here and you have endured and endured and endured. And I appreciate that so very, very much. I said it this morning. I need to say it tonight as well. Most of the lessons that I have presented to you, I preach those same lessons most of the time, and it doesn't take near that amount of time. And I find myself when people are listening and paying attention and seem to be absorbing what we're talking about and what we're studying, it just lasts longer. So as I concluded this morning, and it's my conclusion tonight, that I have a very good reason for being so long-winded in preaching. It's your fault. So if you don't want me to preach a long time, just don't listen. But I do appreciate, you know, and a preacher can tell people are listening. And a number of times you have been very quiet. And when you're talking about God's word and it's very quiet, I know people are paying attention. You're great listeners. Thank you so much. I thank the elders for inviting me to come. They had me 4 or 5 years ago, invited me back. Shame on them if it didn't work out. They knew what they were getting. But I do appreciate these men, and I thank them for having me to come. I was afraid Steve was going to get mushy and stuff there a while ago, but Steve's a good man. We appreciate each other because I equally appreciate Steve and his kind attention to the preaching of the word and his astute looking at the scriptures to understand what God says, and work with him at the school, work with him in meetings, and I appreciate him, and I consider him my friend, most importantly, brother in Christ. Certainly, I know you will be. I will be praying for his safe journeys in the coming days. Certainly, for Sandy, good health, and we're praying for all of you to continue to keep on keeping on serving the Lord. Thank you again for having me. Now, lest I spend all this time talking about sweet nothings, let's get to hand what we're here for. Study God's word. Oh, and I want to say one more time, the singing is awesome. Singing is awesome. It's just really great. Praising God together. So many, especially younger men, are just leading so well. And it's just, that means so much. Appreciate all those efforts. And it has been good to be here. Well, we've spent the week in the morning classes talking about our daily walk with God. And we've looked at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. In the evening time, we have been looking at the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now we've looked at those two passages and used those as the bases of what we've talked about in the mornings and the evenings. And tonight, I just kind of gathering from having been here this the second time and doing the Saturday evening summation lesson for what has taken place for those 2 days in the study of God's Word with the young folks. I thought maybe that's what I ought to do with these two series to kind of see if we can pull them together and come up with a summation kind of lesson. And so I've just entitled it, What Does It Really Mean to Seek the Things Above? And what I would like to do in the remainder of our time this evening is just to pull together just some basic fundamental things that I believe that we have tried to present from God's Word in these two series over the past 6 days as we have studied together God's Word. Well, the first thing I would like us to consider when we think about all of these things we've talked about is I believe that God's Word being the guide for our life is at the center of all we've been talking about. We talked about in the morning lesson once about increasing our faith. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you all understand that the reading of the text, the study of the text, the meditation of the text, the application of the text is text work. It takes a lot of work. And we've been trying to encourage all of us unto that goal. When we, as God's people, consider the significant passages in Scripture that have to do with the importance of God's Word, passages like 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped, for every good work. It's important that we understand that the gospel is the power of God to save. We understand that Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You know what it really means to think, seek things above? It means that you have determined that God's Word is the rule of your life. That's what that means. That you consider everything that God says important. May I suggest to us that even as Naaman questioned the very words through the prophet from God as to his cleansing, and how at first he scoffed at that, when he became convinced to do what God had said, he was cleansed. And it's important for us to understand that we need to hear what God says. And however strange that might be, however different than we may have thought it so, what God has said is so far above what we think. We need to listen to God. I have tried in these lessons to appeal to the text, to encourage you to read God's Word. The challenge before you in the morning classes, to in the next 3 months, to read the Scriptures through one time a month. Do that 3 months in a row. My email address. Send me a message. Let me know how that affected your life. Now, it's not just it's not a contest. It's not, you know, a winner is going to get, you know, a car or something. But the reality of it is that I'm afraid that too many of us, we want to seek God and we want to go to heaven, but we're not willing to put in the time and the effort to get there. One of the fundamental things that we have learned this week is that we must grow our faith, trusting in God's Word as our rule and our standard. And may God Almighty help all of us to understand, as Jeremiah said, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his own steps. I encourage you to keep on keeping on studying your Bible. Whoever stands before you, whomever you hear saying, God said, test it, try it, make sure that's what God's Word says. That is seeking things above. Secondly, may I suggest to us that the whole concept of being like Jesus as our goal is what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the very fact of being like Jesus Christ is the main thing. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21, I think we're quite familiar with that text. The Apostle Peter says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. Now I'm going to say to us that that is challenging. You think reading 10 chapters a day, 3 months in a row, is a challenge? And it is. It's a piece of cake walking in those. Because our Lord left us such an awesome example. And I'm afraid that too many of us are looking to the Donald Trumps of wealth. We're looking at, you know, the sports figures, the Stephon Currys, you know, or baseball figures or football figures. And they have become the talk of our family. They have been the emphasis in our lives. And it seems that whether it's academia or it's sports or whatever it is, those things are fine in and of themselves, as we've talked about, but that's not the main thing of the main thing. The main thing of our lives is to be like Jesus. We need to be before our children an example walking like Christ. Then our children, as they read and study about Christ, they will connect the dots. And when they read about Jesus, what he did, and they see you as their parents doing what Jesus did, they understand that's what they're supposed to do. And it's so easy to say to children, don't do as I do, just do as I say. That don't work. When you're around brethren, it doesn't take but just a few moments to understand who they look up to, who they appreciate, who they want to be like, who's important to them. When we're seeking things above, Jesus is the main thing. May I suggest to us again that when we think about seeking things above, it's all about our hearts. In Matthew the 15th chapter, our Lord mentions and talks about the heart. And we have tried as best we can to talk about our hearts and how important it is to serve our God, to honor our God from a pure heart. And Jesus said in verse 18 of Matthew 15, he says, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, we find beginning at verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. It's pretty simple when you think about the gymnastics of getting from point A to point B. What we think is what we talk. What we talk is how we walk. And it is God's word that ultimately changes the heart. We fill our minds constantly with the holiness of righteousness, God's word. And it is God's word that changes our hearts, the way we think. When you change the way you think, that then changes the way you talk. And when you change the way you talk, that changes the way you walk. It's a simple process. So if we see people walking not in the light, but in the darkness, we know what they're thinking. They're feeding off the wrong things. A number of times, brethren involve themselves reading a lot of books about the Bible. I've got a library I've got a lot of stuff in my library, a lot of books. A lot of it's a bunch of junk. Even the really good stuff don't compare to the Bible. Someone compared the concept of what you put into your heart as to what you put in for nutrition. You know, there are a lot of folks that eat a lot of junk food. They don't eat the vegetables. They don't eat the things that are nutritionally good for us, but eat junk. Now, it may take a time for that to catch up with us, either in weight, blood pressure, diabetes, sugar problems. Didn't say that word. It causes issues. We can read books about God's word is junk food. Reading God's word is the nutrition we need. Our hearts will not become transformed to what we need it to be, what God wants it to be, by feeding on junk. So I want to encourage you. No, it's not simple to read a book about the Bible. Don't misunderstand. But we need to make sure for our hearts to be what it ought to be, there is only one book, one word that cleanses our hearts, transforms our hearts. Then when our hearts are right, then we talk right. When we talk right, we walk right. May I suggest to us that we've talked about the idea of our bodies and how important they are in our service to our God. In 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? For you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies. Galatians 5 discusses the works of the flesh. And if I'm not careful, then my life can be filled with using my body solely to entertain and to carry out the lust of the flesh. When we seek things above, because we have been raised up with Him, we are people that are not our own. We don't belong to us. We've been redeemed. We've been purchased. We belong to God. We are His servants. He is our master. He is our Lord. So when we take our bodies and we go out, and all we do about what we're doing in our life is all about our flesh, we have taken that which belongs to God and profaned it, perverted it, misused it. This body is God's. And for me to fornicate, for me to use drugs, to commit any of the acts of the flesh that is against God and against the Spirit, is to violate our very purchase. So I think all of us should consider very carefully that being a disciple that continually seeks the things above, it involves the physical application of our very lives. When we are totally committed to the service of Jesus Christ, we will wear this body out to God's glory, not to our lusts. You see, without Him we have nothing. Without God, we are nothing. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be of a glory to God in our bodies. When we think about what does it really mean to seek things above, it has to do with the unseen eternal things and how important they are to be first in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 16, a beautiful passage that says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." Now, if I might stop there just for a moment. I still look in the mirror. I don't have a lot of need to, but when I look in the mirror, I'm still a little bit taken back. Because in my heart, in my mind, I still think of myself as just in the right group to sit over there. But when I look in the mirror, I see, not so. You know, they talk about age, how you feel. Age is just a number. Well, things stop working. Things start changing. Our bodies just... I used to love to play basketball. And for a short, white guy, I did okay. Just a few years ago, a bunch of the young guys at the church wanted to get together, go to a gym, and play basketball. They wanted me to come. Well, I already kind of had in my mind that I was done. But I thought maybe one more time the old man could show the young guys how it's done. So I go out there, and I'm playing. I'm running up and down the court, and I'm doing fine. I'm keeping up with those young boys running up and down the court, and we're doing this and playing ball and all. And all of a sudden, bang, I thought somebody had shot me. And I fell to the floor, and I looked around, and there was nobody near me. No one. No one. But I felt like somebody had taken a knife and just stuck it into my calf. Well, I blew my Achilles. Okay. It didn't just completely separate it, but it boogered it up real good. My leg turned black and blue and green and purple and every kind of thing. My wife has never been sympathetic for sports injuries. She thinks sports is a bunch of silliness anyway. She doesn't like sports, except Kentucky basketball. I did convert her. That was the main reason I married her. But anyway, whenever I have an injury or had an injury, sports related, my wife gave me no sympathy whatsoever. None, zero, none. So I'm sitting there with the heating pad and the ice pack and just, you know, moaning and groaning and, can you give me some tea, huh? And, you know, she just really, yeah, not much sympathy. And she would say something to the effect, you know, you're not 19 anymore. You know, that's kind of a tough thing to face up to. Right, Steve? Getting old. Did you notice this thing? Therefore, do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying. As soon as we're born, we start to die. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In a land far, far away, in a place I preached once upon a time, there was, not too far away, a mental hospital. And from time to time, on Sundays, some of those patients would be allowed to leave and to come to worship services. And there was a fellow that came one Sunday, and he was walking down the middle aisle. And as he was walking down the middle aisle, he just stopped and he started doing this. And, you know, it kind of freaked everybody out. You know, he was swatting something, but we didn't see what he saw. And we later find out that, you know, he's from the hospital and he has issues and problems and he saw things that we didn't see. Do you know what the people of the world think about us? They think we're mental. Because we see things that they don't see. We're all about the unseen. We're all about God and His Word and spiritual things. And the person of the world doesn't see that. They don't care about that. What we've tried to talk about this week is, what is the most important thing in our lives? When you're seeking things above, the most important things in your life are the unseen things, because they are the eternal things. Anything else that is temporal or physical is temporary. It doesn't last. It's going to go up in smoke. And if we get all wrapped up in and that's the big deal of our lives, it will soon be gone. I've tried to encourage us to think about the unseen things. They are the eternal things. They are the most important things. If your kid doesn't get above an 18 on the ACT test, if your kid barely graduates high school, if they never go to college, that really ain't that big a deal. If they're a child of God, and they love God with all of their heart, and they go to heaven, that's success. We've talked about what it really means to seek things above is having a true concern for others, caring about other people. In Philippians chapter 2, the apostle said, beginning in verse 3, Philippians 2, beginning at verse 3, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. And do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. We talked about that, about doing good, helping people physically, helping people spiritually, especially they of the household of faith. And how so very, very important that is if we're seeking the things above. That we get outside of self and look at others. Think of others. Do for others. I lived in this neighborhood one time, and there was this man that lived down the road, and he was just a great neighbor. I had a lawnmower on the blink and didn't have a lawnmower. He had a lawnmower. He let me use his lawnmower. I think a time or two he even mowed my yard for me. And he was just a great neighbor. He was the kind of neighbor that you could trust with anything. Give him a key to your house. You know, just anything. I mean, he was a great neighbor. You could trust him with anything and everything. Right? Well, at the time, a good friend of mine, Grover Stevens, we went down to his house, and Grover Stevens was one of these guys that could just, what was somebody said the other day, sell Saudi Arabian sand. You know, he just had a great ability to talk to people about the gospel. We're there talking to this man. Basic conversation. Grover's got the ball. He's getting ready to run with it. He says his entry statement. And before he gets his entry statement finished, this guy jumps up and he says, now wait a minute, boys. If y'all here to talk to me about religion, I don't care nothing about that. I've never seen Grover Stevens speechless. He was speechless. He didn't know what to say. Because that guy just said no, he wasn't interested in spiritual things. Now, you know, there are a lot of people in the world like that. But I remember what God said to Ezekiel and the responsibility God placed upon people of God. You know, you go and you speak to the people. If they don't listen, it's on them. You don't go speak to them, it's on you. You see, God doesn't require of us to be successful. Now listen to me. God doesn't require of us to be successful, to be his servant, and to be acceptable to him. He just requires of us to go and to speak. God gives the increase based upon the people's hearts. Our concern for others. We may talk to 100 people and get one person to listen to the truth. It's very easy to get discouraged. It's very easy for us to be weary when we've talked to so many and it just doesn't seem to be anybody interested. Please remember what we've tried to learn this week. As servants of Jesus Christ, seeking the things above, God wants us to give an effort to help any and all that we can, whether physical or spiritual, most importantly, spiritual. And if whatever you've done, whatever you've sacrificed, and whatever you've given doesn't seem to have done any good at all, you have delivered your soul. Remember the story I just told you about Grover Stevens and I? Did you know that there is a rest of the story? That guy that was so vehemently opposed to anything about God became a Christian. And I was asked to do his funeral. Neither I nor anyone else ever has any knowledge of whether or not a person that passes is going to heaven or hell. But I'm here to tell you tonight that man, that brother, died. If you're going to seek the things above, you got to stop thinking about yourself. You got to think about others. Seeking things above has to do with solving your problems with prayer. We spent a whole lesson in the morning talking about before the throne. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." A good preacher friend of mine was teaching a Bible class, and he read verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Somebody raised their hand. They said, "Brother, would you explain what that means, surpasses all comprehension?" He said, "When the Holy Spirit says you don't understand it, you can't understand it, then I don't either." Next question. Well, let me tell you, the idea of our privilege to be able to talk to the Almighty Jehovah God, who is all powerful and able to supply and to grant unto us all of our needs and above and beyond what we're even able to comprehend, think, or dream, or imagine. Prayer. Verse 13, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." My son was 4 years old. My son, Daniel, he ran on 220. I've seen some of your all's kids and y'all think they're pretty rowdy. You should have had a Daniel, man. I tell you, he was. And we had come home back in those days when our kids were little. Vacation was go home to mom and dad and spend a week, you know, and mooch off of them for a while. And we'd bring the kids, you know. And so we're there. We're at my wife's parents' house. And we'd given Daniel instructions about things, what he should and should not do. And we tried to enforce that as best we could. And there was out on the back patio back there, there was this table with an umbrella on it, you know, kind of thing. Okay. And, we had told him to stay away from that. Okay. But then, you know, when a 4 year old gets quiet, you don't hear him. They're into something. Daniel, that's always the case with Daniel when he was 4. So we went looking for him. I found him first. He's outside. He's on this table, he's taking the crank, and he's cranking it, and it's opening it up, and it goes, poof, you know, opens up, the umbrella deal, okay? It scares him, he's on the table, now he's already doing something we've just said, don't do that. He's doing that. So I was going to go out there and talk to him. little bit. And as I was getting ready to go out there, he's a pretty smart little kid. He was trying to put that thing in reverse. You know, he's trying to crank her backwards. You know, and he's trying, because he knows he's done messed up. And he's trying. He don't know about the little button. You know, the little button, you got to push that, you know, to get her to go in reverse, you know. He don't know about the button. And so he's struggling with this thing. And all of a sudden, he's already on his knees. He folds his hands. And he prays. And he says, "Dear God, please let this thing come down." Now, I have to tell you, at that moment, I was an angry father, but I was also a very proud father. We're trying to teach him to pray. When you're in trouble, thank God, etc. He's in trouble. He's praying. I didn't have the heart to go out there and whip that boy. I called his mother. I said, "You, come here, your son is out here messing up." Well, let me tell you something. We try to teach our kids right and wrong. When you're seeking things above, we need to teach our kids to pray to God. Best way we can teach them to pray to God is for them to see us praying to God. Praying with them. I tell you, there has been just so many beautiful... Here's another grandpa story. This is the last one for the week, and you can be done with it. It's really a meemaw story. The two oldest, they come over and they stay with us from time to time for a night or two. And they're just sweet little boys. They're the bestest grandsons in the world. We talk about pride too, I remember. Okay. Mary Lou, with our children, always read to them before they would go to sleep. She reads to our grandsons before they go to bed. And they have prayer together. Now, I would like to do that and be a part of that, but Meemaw has just kind of taken that, and I don't want to take that away from her. It's such a precious little moment. And here's these two little hoodlums. I mean, these two little boys, sweet little boys, and they're laying there on the bed with Meemaw. They're reading this. And then she said, "All right, it's time for us to pray." Little Jackson, the middle one, as I said, we don't know what he says. But he prays and he mumbles along, and then finally he's done. Then Austin prays. And I've taken a few little snapshots of those moments. You know what's really, really awesome? You see things above. Your kids have grown up praying with you, seeing you to pray, and they're prayerful people. Because that's what it means to seek things above. Knowing that prayer is a child of God's privilege to access the Almighty. You know, we've talked about any number of these issues this week. Walking in the light, seeking things above. Those two passages are very connected. The two themes, while two separate themes, are connected. And I hope and pray that each of us recognize that and see that in our own lives. Tonight, we're going to extend the Lord's invitation to anyone that might want to become a Christian tonight. And let me say, you have to want to become a Christian. These few notes that I'm going to put on the board here are simple notes that if you've studied and you've become learned in regards to the faith, you understand that you're outside of Jesus Christ and you're still in your sins. Tonight would be a wonderful time for you to become a Christian. Have every sin washed away. To be a child of God. I recall any number of times that I've baptized folks. And, you know, sometimes you'll have your tie on, you know, your shirt and everything. And you put your duck waders on, you know, and you get in there. And you're trying to be very careful not to, you know, scoop up water and get wet. You roll your sleeves up, you know, and everything. And you baptize someone. And invariably, every time, when you bring that person back up out of the water, they are smiling ear to ear. They are so happy. Drenching wet, and they turn around and just give you a great big old hug, and you're just soaked all over. And you know what? That is so cool. That is just really great. That is awesome. Do you remember when you were baptized into Jesus Christ? You remember that? When you came up out of that water, how great you felt, how wonderful you felt. Now, if you're not a Christian, you don't know anything about that. But you can. What a wonderful thing to be forgiven of every sin that you've ever committed. Can we help you be obedient to Christ tonight? All things are ready, all things are prepared. Last night, I'm going to tell you, was one of the highlights of my entire week here. For three precious souls to come forward and to have the courage to say, I've been wrong, and ask for prayers of the brethren. I spoke to that this morning a little bit in the class. And that's becoming such an oddity anymore. But maybe you need the prayers of the church here. Maybe you need to make corrections in your life as a child of God. We'll pray with you and pray for you. Most importantly, through the blood of Christ, you can be forgiven of every sin. Can we help you be obedient to Christ? Keep seeking things above. Won't you come as we stand and sing?